This is your captain speaking. It's time to take flight with Jada Davis. I'd like to welcome everyone on board. Get ready to navigate the journey of launching your next big idea. This flight is intended for the aspiring or thriving business owner, the person with a really good idea but not sure where to begin, and that person working on a job dreaming of the day that you can work for yourself. We are currently at a cruising altitude. The seatbelt light is turned off, and it's time for you to execute.
What's up, everybody? This is Take Flight with Jada Davis. As you know, I bring my business besties with me on first-class experiences and showing customers how to optimize their business and automate their business to optimize their life. And so, you know, the goal is always living for a living. So I had to bring a special someone that I connected with within the last year and really excited about where our relationship is going to grow and blossom. But she is a subject matter expert in her field. And so I'm going to let her introduce herself, but I'm going to drop a couple things. Author, certified life coach, transformational specialist, expert speaker. And I'm going to tag her TEDx speech as well. And she's really serving professional women who are purpose to lead. And so no other than Maxine Johnson. What's up?
Hey, Jada. Good to talk to you and catch up. I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
I am so glad that you're here. Shout out to Tiana Von Johnson for creating an opportunity and space for us to meet and to connect and stay connected. And so, you know, when we met, we instantly had a connection. And so I'm just excited to continue to hold each other accountable, continue to see where things go. And so, I'm excited about this conversation. You have a lot to give. You are in so many different lanes. And I did not mention she's also a pastor, but we're going to get into that later as well. But yeah, so let's start off with a little fun, okay?
Yep. So
this is Take Flight. We're in first class. We are getting settled. We're getting relaxed. You're in your seat. I'm in mine. But you determining our destination. So if money was no object, you can go anywhere immediately. Where are you going?
I would like to go to Dubai. I love to travel. You know that.
Yeah.
And my husband owns a travel agency. So I love water, blue water. I would love to go to Dubai. I would love to visit there, the culture, to experience that. And I know you said one, but I also want to go to Senegal. There is I got introduced to a lake that is pink, and it's so intriguing to me just to see that. How do you have pink water? Like what is that? Yeah. So that's another place that I'm looking to go as well. So that's where I'll go first class. Dubai, absolutely first, because you said we'd go anywhere. That's where I'm going.
So I love that you said Senegal. I'm actually trying to figure out where I want to bring in the new year. And I, for me, I've been wanting to go back to Africa as much as possible, typically at least once a year. And so Senegal has been the last country that I've been exploring on going. So you just gave me another spot specifically there that I need to make sure that I include on the list as I'm deciding where I'm going to go. But yeah, Pink Lake. Oh, that, I can't wait to see that. So I'm definitely going to look that up. It's on the list.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You know how I found out? My son's girlfriend, she is Senegalese. Okay. And so she introduced me to it. I'm like, oh, we have to go. Look, I just invited myself.
Right. You going. Look.
Exactly. We going.
So next to you, it could be anyone seated next to you, dead or alive. Who's seated next to you and what would you ask them?
You know who I would love to just pick their brain that I could just sit by and just listen to? Oh, there's several people, but let me just be still and just, Oprah comes to mind. And she comes to mind, but, oh, this is a good question, JD. See, I'm scratching my head. See, she comes to mind, but she comes to mind in that when you see a successful woman of color, and you know that we all have trials and tribulations, and just to see her overcome them, to come from being a millionaire to a billionaire, you not so much about the money piece, but just her mindset and continuing to push. So my question is, what was your mindset? Who was your tribe? Who was your team to help you get through every obstacle and help you get to the next level? What did that look like for you? And just to pick her brain around that. So that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, I love that. Now, Oprah's my girl. She's actually my favorite gift that I use when I'm texting people. I'm using the shrug. Oprah, I'm using all of her. Her and Yala, those are my favorite. And I love Oprah. I actually went to, I'm here in DC. There is at the National Portrait Gallery. They typically have exhibits that last a few weeks or a couple of months. And one that is going on right now is Remarkable Black Women. And so the artist, it's a photography exhibit and gallery, and they are, it's pictures from 1988 of several remarkable women. So obviously Oprah was part of that. And so it's just, first off, it was amazing to see Black women, like Black really don't crack. Okay. First off, I mean, for you too, because you know, I told you that when I met you, but we're not gonna go there. But for real, like I was looking at Oprah, it was Cicely Tyson and just so many other Black women. I'm like, wow. And so I love to see this. So yeah, Oprah's my girl. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love it. So you do so many things now. I'd imagine that wasn't necessarily what you thought you were going to do when you were growing up. So what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh, initially I wanted to be a teacher. That was the initially.
Okay.
And then I went more from teaching to getting into modeling. Okay. Then I'm more from modeling to fashion design. Then I'm more from fashion design. I don't know. I wanted to be a meteorologist. But I will say this. This is how it all came about. When you're exposed to more things, it piques your interest. And so the more I got exposed to different things, the more I'm like, oh, no, I want to do that. Oh, now I want to do that. And so that's what whatever was intriguing at the time, that's what it was. But ultimately, when you look back, I'm teaching now. So
it's still happening.
Exactly.
No, that's dope. So you so I want to dive into the type of businesses that you have, who you serve. And so I hit on the fact that you were really your audience is women. And so you a life coach, you also, you know, author, speaker. So tell us about some of the work you do and who you serve.
Yeah, so thank you. I am a life coach. I'm also just got a business coaching certification last year. And I serve women who are unfulfilled in their careers, and I help them find purpose beyond their profession. And what that means in translating in similar terms, there's always something more, but sometimes we don't know how to transfer those skills into what our passion is. We get stuck because we're trying to figure it out. And so I am truly, truly blessed and thank God for the gift of understanding what the basis is and then how you understand HR. What skills do you have and how can you utilize that skill into whatever that next is for you? And so, of course, being an HR professional over 20 years, I also do HR consulting. And so I've been doing that. I've been doing it for free 99 for a very long time in faith-based institutions, but now doors have opened for me. I've been working with nonprofit organizations and doing so as an HR consultant, helping them with policies and performance management and things of that nature and any employee relations type thing. So I've been doing that as well. So with the coaching for women. I speak. I'm a speaker, an international speaker. I spoke on many platforms. And thank you so much for shouting out the TEDx. So I've done that. And I'm an author, co-author. And I know as my accountability partner and friend, I am almost finished the book. I just haven't dove into it.
Okay. I was going to ask about it. So I'm glad you went ahead and told me.
The book is sitting there. It's sitting there. It's 80% done. So I just have, have to tighten it up, but will be my second book. I've co-authored several books and meditations on different platforms. And as well as you said, I'm a pastor and that's a part of what I do as far as ministry, but it has expanded. So pastoring has expanded ministry outside the walls of the church. So I go and do a lot more things to help women. Now, I will say this, and someone asked me, do I coach men? And I don't necessarily, but I have one person, two men that I know who says, no, you're my coach, period.
Yeah. Okay, listen, I get it, because what they can learn, I'm sure the men are like, yeah, I can learn a lot from you, but it's good that you've identified your audience and that's who you serve. And you know, it's, this is who I serve, but what you get from it, you can, other people can gain information from it too. I take the same approach of like, my information is out there for everyone, but I serve who I serve. So I love that. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, I got a couple of questions. So I want to ask you about current times, and with it being layoff season, with companies trying, you know, having to make a lot of decisions with change management. And mm-hmm. So for those people that are, maybe they have a business on the side that they were hoping that their job could really help fund, and now they find themselves in a layoff, or maybe they were just getting their ideas together, but now, you know, creativity is really stunted because they are just in survival mode of what they're going to do next. What would you say to those people that are experiencing a layoff and trying to figure out what's next?
Wow. Let me tell you, Jada, I just experienced that from one of my clients.
Yeah.
And the whole focus, and this is why, whether you can afford it or not, whether you can, you have a coach and invest in a coach, or even if you have a mentor, you need someone that's going to hold you accountable to what, why you started your business in the first place. What is your why? And so I had a client just last year, got laid off, and they were starting a business all at the same time. And what happened is there was this mental that they went through that, I can't believe I really got laid off. But my role and my job was, okay, yep, you did. Your financial piece, you work through, because I'm not a financial advisor. So I invite you, you take care of that. But my role was to continue on to press them to say, let's talk about what is the plan for you and your business, and hold them accountable every week. Okay, where are you with this? Did you send out the emails? Did you send out this? Did you send out that? So even if you don't have a coach or a mentor, find someone that's an accountability partner that's going to push you. Because right now, the motivating factor, it's not about, and actually we're talking today, we're no longer our client, but we still keep in touch, but we're talking today. The actual thing is all around, now, do you want to go back to the corporate world? And in this case, my client said they really didn't, because they know they can get a job, but they didn't. So if your focus is, what is your why? You wanted to work for yourself. You wanted to start a business. You wanted to help small businesses to do X. You already know who you serve and why you're serving them. Go get them, because you don't want to go back to corporate.
Yeah.
That's what I keep reminding them. So if you do, that's one thing. But the mindset is, you have to continue that. Why am I doing this? What do I want to do? What do I want to achieve? And if you didn't do it today, if you didn't do it today, next year at this time, if you didn't do it, how much did you lose?
Yeah.
So you have to remind yourself of that. And that's what I would say. Continue to work at it, but you've got, you're going to have that emotional reaction of, I can't believe I got laid off. You might be angry. You might be sad. You might be upset. You might have fear. All of that is real, but don't get stuck there.
Not as good. Yeah. And so to shift the conversation, but staying with HR, for, you know, someone listening now, and they are expanding their business, and with expansion means they need people to operate, you know, and to grow. What are the first few things you would tell a business owner when they're looking to add people to their team? Which type of things do they keep in mind and do first?
Yeah, the one thing that I will say that's very helpful is, if you are at the point where you need help, hire a virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. To do the things that you just don't have time to do, the low hanging fruit, whether it's sending out emails, picking up the calls, finding those lists that you need to find your client. That's what the virtual assistant is for, because that way you can work more on the strategic measures as the CEO and not the technical things that your admin would do, the virtual assistant would do. So that's the first thing I would say. And then the second thing is that's when you really have to follow your plan and map out what that plan looks like for you. And so let that person, and then as you build on your business, it'll start to come. What else do you need? What else should you need? Some people get a person, a VA, a brand ambassador, and they get all this stuff in the beginning. It may not be necessary, because a lot of times, one of my former coaches said to me, a lot of times people want to build on all of this. And so I'm not going to take the credit. So I'll just say, one of my former coaches said this, but you really want to understand the ins and outs of your own business before you start hiring people. How can you hire someone until you know how to do it?
Yes.
So that's what I would just advise initially.
No, that's perfect. I know that I'm working with a lot of business owners, and to your point, you know, referring them to consultants, I'll be adding you to my list of qualified, vetted contacts. But a lot of times, you know, from a they may be working with a fractional CFO, like my good friend Ashley Harlan, and you know, she's finding that they are now wanting to expand, and there's laws and things that they should keep in mind. And so, to your point, hiring an expert, this is another area of business where an expert really matters, so that you are in compliance, so that you're not paying people as 1099 when they should be actually W-2 and all of those things. So
absolutely, because people rotten dirty out here.
Yeah.
Until they get in trouble. And this is what I tell people from an HR perspective. I say, because some people, one of my clients, my HR client said, I said, well, who helped you with your policies? And they said, oh, they hired an attorney. I said, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But an attorney is about upholding the law, so that and helping you with the litigation. But before you hire an attorney, it's so much cheaper to hire an HR professional, because they know compliance, they know policies, they know procedures, they understand the minimalization of the laws within the confines of human resources. So, and it's always good to have an HR professional first, not to say you still have your attorney, but before you invest in an attorney to do those things that the professional HR person does, it saves you a lot of money. And I say that to everybody. Without HR, I'm telling you, and you know this, mm-hmm. in the corporate world, I work hand in hand with legal, because, and it's funny, because in the corporate world, our legal our attorney said to me, Maxine, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I said, because you don't need to. Why? Because when you do this thing for so long, I just need you. If we get a lawsuit, that's it.
Yeah.
What do I need you for? That's it. Uphold the law. Here's the documentation. I did everything.
Yeah.
I just need you to defend it. That's it. That's what they're there for. So no knocks to attorneys. Many of my friends are attorneys, but I'm just saying this.
No, that's real. I know. And you know what, to your point, like, so my experience comes from professional experience, also comes from, you know, a strategic HR leadership as well. And one of the things that I think that that is applied or should be applied in corporate world that I would love for small business owners and entrepreneurs to apply is that, to your point, they have to think about, like, the people function. Is any decision that is made, people are impacted. So if you're growing, you need more people to kind of help you execute, whether it's a virtual assistant or actual contractor, actual employee, right? You know, as you decide to maybe try a new feature or a product, expand your product line, there are still people involved in making that happen. They may be designing it, right? They may be printing something. And so I think that it's HR has a bad reputation that we hope one day will be cleaned up for sure.
That's what we're working to do, to change it. But as it goes, and so you mentioned this earlier, Jada, around change management.
Yeah.
People understand there are change management practitioners, mm-hmm. and I am one. I'm a ProSci certified, so I am a change management practitioner. But HR is key to functioning in change management, because we help with that. And so with new business owners, and as you scale and you're doing some change management, you're doing some process, who's going to help you with the change? And that's where we come in to say, hey, let's work out a change management mapping, to say, if you're instituting something new, a new system, that's what we do. We help you with that. So it won't be all on you, CFO, CEO, COO. Yeah. That doesn't have to be. You're going to be involved, but it doesn't have to be on you. We'll help and map that out for you, so that the change that happens and occurs in your organization, that is sustainable, is repeatable. You don't have to keep going back. And there's, you know, you minimize attrition, turnover, and all of that stuff. So those type of things, I think that people start to realize the importance of having an HR practitioner in the organization.
No, that's good. So I mentioned you all that she's also a pastor. So when did you get into ministry?
2007 was when I answered my call.
Okay.
Given my license. I was licensed as a preacher, ordained minister. I was licensed as a minister in 2009. Mm-hmm. I went to seminary, went back to school, got my Master's of Divinity as required in the church that I'm in, at African Methodist Episcopal Church. And I started pastoring, actually in June, it'll be 10 years. So I started pastoring in 2013. In a church in Delaware. That was my first pastorate. My second one is in Lansdowne, PA. And so it's been 10 years. So that's how I got into it. I just said, something's going on with me spiritually. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. Spiritual advisors, my pastor at the time, kind of we prayed through it, walked through it, and then I understood what it was.
You mentioned that that it was expanding. You want to touch on that?
Ministry is expanding. Absolutely. One thing about those that are, if you know church or understand church, and most of us do, a lot of times we think about church as within the walls of the church. But the expansion is coming from when you go to different events and you're speaking. So I speak at women's conferences, and it's not all faith-based. It's not. Everything is not faith-based. But the expansion is when you're touching the lives of women or even men, they know it's something more in you. And that's not me. That's the God in me. We know that song, that's the God in me, but it's not me. I already know that. So that's how I understand the expansion of ministry is outside the walls, because God gifts us all with something. We all have a gift. Some of us have multiple ones. And the gift that God gives us, how do you utilize that to touch the masses and to reach the masses? One example I'll say, Jada, I went to a SHRM conference. I did a presentation at a SHRM conference in Ohio.
Okay.
I'm talking straight HR stuff, right? Woman comes up to me and says, are you in ministry? I'm straight corporate.
And so you thought.
Say that again.
So you thought.
Exactly. And she said, in your stories that you shared and everything, I know it's something about you. I said, yes, I am. But what I realized was that God will use you to share with others. And so to me, that showed me that even if you don't think it's a part of what God is a part of ministry, God still uses you in different ways to touch people. And so I had an opportunity to minister to that woman.
Yeah, I love that.
Just because of that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. You not only did God use you, but you just allowed him to in this space, and what was supposed to happen. So that takes me to a question that I'm curious to know. What spiritual and or biblical lessons do you apply in business?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. There is a book, I think is a Rabbi Le Pen, I believe. And it's Business Secrets from the Bible. Great book.
Okay.
That gives scriptures around what the Bible says about business. But think about this. In the Bible, almost everybody was a business owner. Everybody. Fishermen, carpenters.
Yeah.
Whether you was a king or a queen, everybody was a business owner. And so it's there. But how do we utilize the principles in that? The one principle that I always say is spiritually for me, and then you can use it however you want, whatever you believe. If you are a believer in whomever you believe, you got to seek the creator first. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Because without the gifts that God gives you, you can't operate.
Yeah,
you can, but you operate better, even the greater. So I always say that's the mantra and that's the basis, that God is first in all things. And so he'll give me the plan. He'll give me, before I used to plan, then pray.
Right.
That's what I used to do. But now I pray, wait to see what the plan will be. Because he said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So plans to prosper. So when I know that, and that's the faith that I have. So I'll say from a spiritual perspective is whatever that is for you, you have to put God first in all things, whatever your creator. So I put God first before a lot. I have to, because it keeps me grounded, because you're going to have some things that you're like, I can't believe I did that or whatever. And a disappointment, people are going to disappoint you, but you keep going. And that's the peace that you have.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. I want to talk about women, you know, since that's who you serve. And I know that a lot of women are listening to this podcast, and you mentioned earlier, really helping women to find their purpose beyond their profession. And so I had a really good question about, you know, women, and you're a mother, so you, a lot of times women in general, but especially mothers, put everyone else before them, right? And then later, years later, months later, then are trying to find themselves again. So what would you say to women about, like, what can they do before they even get to that point of burnout?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question, because I was guilty of it as well. Football mom, track mom, basketball mom. I was a single mother. I was divorced, single mom. And so I'm doing all the running around, trying to go to school, trying to do this and that, making sure they have their whatever they need. And Maxine forgot about Maxine because I didn't have time. But what I realized was, is that in all things and in everything, whatever it is, that desire in your belly, that you can still chip at it, that you cannot forget yourself. You can't. Why? Because they're going to grow up and leave. I'm an empty nester now. I'm an empty nester. So, and you know how it is when you have adult children, they call you every other day. It's not an everyday thing. So it's just you and sitting in your stuff. But the one thing that I will say, whatever that is for you, you have to lean into it, whether it's a small thing. So for example, one of the things I did know, so even before I got my MDiv, before I was called into ministry, I knew I wanted to get my master's degree. I did. I was like, I want to get my master's degree. So, but it was for me. Mm. But what happens is what I realized is that it was for me, and to see my children, to see me go to school, it inspired them. When my children saw me working on Maxine, it encouraged them. I still worked out. I still ran. I ran at the time. I'm a retired runner, but I worked out to take care of my body, because here's the reality. They grow up and leave, and I still want to be around to celebrate my grandchildren when I have them, and to enjoy that. So my mind is right and all of that. So there's no regrets. But I will say this for women that's saying, well, I regret this. There's no regrets, because what happens is when we get logged into those regrets, then that just, we disappoint ourselves. And then we get into this hole of doubt, and we get in this hole, I can't. So this is why I share with women and tell them, whatever that thing is, start to chip away at it. And that's where you have to have a good tribe. A tribe of, everybody got a tribe of good girlfriends, or if you don't, one or two, whatever you work have, that's going to push you. That's going to push you. I have a friend now that she's been talking about going back to get her BSN. And we've been talking about it. And I said, mm-hmm. And all right. So every time I was like, well, when are you going to do it? And so we all kept talking, when are you going to do it? And so she did it. She finished. And then it was like, oh, I got to sit for the boards. I ain't study. I would leave her house. It's like, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? Because you need to study. So take this time with my time. Let's just study. And she passed her boards. I say all that to say, when you have a group of friends or whomever that's going to say to you, you need to do this. You have to do this, because that's what you said. Here it goes again. What is your why? Why do you want to? What do you want for yourself? You got to ask yourself questions. What do you want for yourself? Yeah. When the kids grow up, what do you want? What do you want to do? That's how I look at it.
Oh, I love it. Now that's good. And you're right. You know, for me in my book, Don't Let Your Mouth Get You in Trouble, I talk about that village, that community. It's so important. And to your point, it may just be one or two people, and that's fine too. But you have to have that. We are not meant to be alone and as we navigate life. And so it is just a lot easier to have somebody to hold you accountable.
Absolutely.
For you to just, you know, piggyback ideas on, just someone to vent to, and all those things outside of your partner, you know, outside of that. Yeah, it's so necessary. Absolutely. So necessary. And so since I'm making you put different hats on, but I'm thinking about that, I a lot of my audience, they may be women in their 30s and their 40s, and they're navigating life and business and love and all of these things. And so I love if you could speak to women that are, you know, maybe they're not married yet, right? But they have a desire to be married, and they, to your point, like, they still have goals, and they're like, you know, well, maybe I should wait until I'm married before I do this, you know, what would you say to them?
Well, you never want to hold back on what your goals are. Because I truly believe that once your spouse, your partner, your husband, once they find you, they will support you. I do. If they don't support it, then that's not your partner. That's not the one.
Yeah.
They should. And I know when my husband and I started dating, and I'm like, okay, I'm in school. Look, this is me. I'm in school because I was in my 40s. I'm in school and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I just went down a whole list. Da, da, da. He said, okay. All right. Well, you saying that to say what? Oh, okay. And I say that because I am very, I'm not goal driven, but I aspire to get to the next level. That means if it's learning, I don't always have to be in school, but if it's learning, growing, developing, or whatever, how God puts in my spirit, like, okay, what's next? What's next? I don't know. And so I just wait. And so it's like, okay, what does that look like? But I don't put it on hold for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're putting them before you.
Yeah.
You can't put others before you. And I love my children. I do. I love my husband. I do. But if I put them before me, I can't be there for them. Mm-hmm. One of my good girlfriends, I'll call her my business girlfriend, Dr. Shayna Lewis, says that, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. She talks about self-care is the new sexy. And I just love her whole platform with that. And I added not only the fact that you can't pour from an empty cup, I always say you can't pour from a dirty one either, because we have residue in our residue that we bleed on people because we're regretting and we're just mad about stuff. But no, you got to take care of yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And I just tell people that all the time. What are you doing for yourself?
Yeah, I love that. No, that's super important. And that's, you know, that is my mantra of living for a living. You know, it shows up in the form of travel. That's what people see, right? They see the output for me being traveling the world and things like that. But what they don't understand is all the things that I do are things that make me happy. I prioritize making me happy. And so that's why I'm comfortable doing a business or doing an idea. And then it may not work out and I move on to something else. But because it made me happy, I realized it didn't work, or maybe it was a good idea. And I was like, you know what, maybe try something else. Like, I'm very comfortable trying something and not working out versus me regretting maybe not ever doing it, to your point. Yeah,
exactly. I'd rather nothing beats a failure but a try. Remember that mm-hmm. saying? And yeah. So you don't know unless you do try it. And then you can say, I did try it. It didn't work out. And guess what? That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when I think of failures, everyone has a story, you know, some more traumatic than others of things that life has thrown our way, but it's gotten us to this point where we have persevered. We can, you know, get things done. We are excelling in exceptional ways. And a lot of people are like, how are you doing it? Like, how did you get to this point? And most times than not, people don't know that struggle story behind the success. So what's your struggle story behind the success?
Oh, it's a lot. And I wrote it in my first book is Helping a Sister. Mm-hmm. And I talk about critical components to creating global communities of change. And I talk about community. And a part of that community of change is having, when you talk about stories and being a single mom, and my ex-husband was incarcerated. So that was one thing. I mean, I can go even further back. And then this is no secret because it's in the book. I talked about the trauma of having an abortion as a teenager. I talk about that trauma and where you know, you're not prepared necessarily to have a baby I'll say for me, I wasn't ready at 16. I wasn't ready. But so I had an abortion, but I didn't understand the trauma that comes after that for me. Some people, but for me, there was trauma. But then being pregnant and getting pregnant, and leaving college, I won't say dropping out, I took a sabbatical. But then going through that, getting married young, and just saying, because you want to do the right thing, because, you know, your grandmama and them say you don't want to be shacked up. And so I wanted to follow the rules and not be shacked up, and getting married and doing all of that, and dealing with the infidelity, and then dealing with saying I'm not dealing with that anymore. And then going to move on your own and taking your two boys, because I said to my sons, they will not treat their women the way their father treated me. And so dealing with that, and then you're going away, you're struggling financially. I tell people, and I laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. I had every utility cut off and knew how to survive with it. And so it, you know, foreclosures and all of that, just dealing with each and every one of those things. But it made me to be a better person, and to be, when I say stronger, not the fact that I wasn't strong, but strong. And my sons, we talk about it, like how God kept us even through the struggle. And we didn't understand it. It was just like many nights of crying and many things of that, but it got me through where I am today. So that's why I tell people, everybody has a story. Everybody deals with certain things. And I'm just on the other side that in my life, it's I live a life of peace, that I don't want no trauma, no trauma or drama. Trauma comes, right? But I want no trauma or drama, but it comes. And the great thing about it is my ex-husband and I are good friends. We are good friends. We cool. I said, that's weird. You're my ex-husband. You're my children's father, but he's like a brother, right? He and I are cool. I say, when your credit goes from minus whatever to, you know, your good credit, it's just how you talk about restoration and all of that. And just to experience that and understanding around even the trauma, dealing with the trauma of being young and being pregnant and being a teenage mom and going through all of that. That's why people can't believe I have a son that's 34. They're like, I can't believe it. Is that your brother? No, it's my son. Yes, this is really my son. Well, somebody thought he was my husband at one point, but it was fun. It was like, either I look old or my mom looks that daggone good. So, and I don't think I look old. Like, so I'll just say that everybody has it, but you just have to continue to move forward. And you continue to, because what happens is sometimes we can get paralyzed by tragedy. We can get paralyzed by the trauma. We can get paralyzed by all of that. And I can't do it. So even in the past couple of years, I've been dealing with death after death. Grandma, my mom got sick out of nowhere and then died within a month. I'm like, what the heck? And then after that, my brother died. My brother had a drug addiction and he died. And so it was just like back to back to back of all of this. And I'm like, but I'll tell you the other thing we don't talk about, especially in a Black community. Therapy is great.
Yes.
Therapy is great. And it helped me. I pray. I know the Lord Jesus is my personal savior. Jesus plus prayer plus therapy, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's why I leave it.
Yeah, I love it. Listen, we're going to close out after this. I'm fine. Listen, you said it. You said everything. No, thank you for sharing. Thank you for your transparency and your vulnerability. And so one last question, one last question that I have is, how do you want to be remembered?
What's in the dash that Maxine has, and when you say Maxine L. Johnson, that she, oh my God, I know she helped me with so much that I want to help as many women in the world as possible, help them get to their next level. That's how I want to be remembered. If I could touch women and say, thank you for that conversation. Thank you for the encouragement. It has helped me get to my next level. That's how I want to be remembered.
I love that. I am so glad that we got to do this. This is amazing. You all heard it here first. The amazing Maxine L. Johnson. I didn't even throw out all of her accolades. I mean, from being in the USA Today, from New York Daily, Medium, Yahoo Finance, so many more. I'll have it in the description. I'm also going to have her TEDx video. I'll have that tag. Also, we'll tag in links to your book so that people can support you, because you've really poured into us. And is there anything that you want to leave with the audience today?
One thing I'll leave with you, just be your best selves. And I'm here for you. So you can follow me on Instagram at Maxine L. Johnson, and feel free to follow me and I'll follow you, and to keep up with the latest and greatest, what's going on. And as things come to any webinars or anything I have upcoming, it'll be there. And whatever I'm here for you. So that's what I would share with you. Be awesome. Best. Be your best.
Thank you so much. Listen, if you are an aspiring or thriving business owner, maybe you're just getting started, or maybe you have a business and you're looking to pivot. Maybe you like, Jada, listen, I'm working 9 to 5. I know I need to do something, but I don't know what I want to do. This is the podcast for you. I'm bringing my business besties along for a first-class experience. We're dropping gems along the way so that you can navigate the journey to your next big idea. Until next time, later. Bye, y'all.